That first season, at the end of that first season, I see, at the start of the second, in September, there's a quote from the Citizen. It says, "Kay Daniel, whose athletic season, I believe, finishes today." So what were you doing then, Ken, on the athletics field at that time? I mean, were you running for a club team?
I was running for Gloucester AC, Gloucester Athletic Club, which had started up again after the war.
Yeah.
My father was instrumental, and I think he was treasurer when it started, and we had various other people of the city helped. And he took me out for my first race in a sports meeting at Newington, and the family had a tandem. My father and mother used to go out on the tandem, and he said, "Come on, you're getting on the back of this tandem, we're going, enter this 100 yards in the Newington race." And we cycled out there on this tandem, and I won a couple of little cups. I won the races, and that was my start and introduction into athletics. And that's how it started. Then I ran locally. In those days, there were all the big firms held sports meetings, and I went to most of them, and I eventually won medals for the county and represented the county at White City. As the athletic career went on,
the club held races, didn't it, at the start of the season amongst the players? Is that right?
Well, up and down the ground, yes.
But nothing formal then.
In my father's day, there was a footballers' race which included Stroud and other teams, and my father generally managed to win those. Yes.
Yes, Bill Hook was talking about something of that kind, and
was he?
Racing against his brother Bob. So that would have been pre-war then, in that case.
It would have been pre-war.
It wasn't continued after the war.
Right. No, mine was all to do with the Gloucester Athletic Club.
Yeah.
Although in 1947, after the club had been going well, we did run a sports meeting on King's Home. And it was sponsored and helped by the club, and I ran in that and various people. But that's the only athletic meeting, other than some very early ones, 1891. The King's Home ground was used then.
So, in terms of the athletics, the peak of your career was representing the county at White City, was it?
Well, then I got invited to run against the British champion, MacDonald Bailey, who represented us in the Olympics in 1948. There was an invitation race on the Cheltenham College ground, and I ran second to him. Which immediately lifted me up very much so in the athletic world. There was a little piece in the Citizen, so that was a big thing for me. And at that time, I was around the 10-second mark for the 100 yards, which was quite an achievement.
Yeah.
Yes.
And 100 yards was your specialty distance.
100 and 220.
220 as well. And
in fact, I think in some of the pro, I ran against J.V. Smith.
And who won?
Oh, I don't know. I can't even remember. I won. Because you were off different handicaps and marks in those days, right. Yes.
So when was the race against MacDonald Bailey again?
August 1946. Oh. I could be more accurate than that, but there was a big thing in the paper about. There was quite a lot of writing about that.
Another player in the side when you first started to play was Gordon Hudson, I think was his name.
Yes, Gordon was in the forwards, yes, in the pack, yes.
He was very good, Gordon.
Yeah. Very rugged and very hard to bring down, yes. Strong runner.
And his father, Arthur, was still secretary of the club at that time, wasn't he?
Yeah. A story with Archie Hudson, who was a very nice man. He called me aside while I was playing, and he said, "Ken," he ran the shop, he ran the sports shop and supplied the jerseys and boots and shorts. He called me aside and he said, "I've got a company that are making boots, and they're coming down from Northampton. What's your size of shoe?" And I gave it him, And he had a lightweight pair of boots made for me, which were quite special. And in those days, the ordinary boot was not that good. It had the heavy toe caps, etc. Yeah. And for a sprinter or runner, they were like gloves. So I was very honoured, and I was very thrilled to get this pair. And he called me aside, and he said, "We've got these for you, Ken," which was very nice, and really, you know, yeah. So I had a special pair of boots.
Yeah. Of course, he was a wing himself, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. Yes, but he scored a tremendous amount of tries and got far bigger honours than I did.
Well, quite a few caps for England, certainly.
Yes, yeah. And of course, in that day, my partner in the centre was S.H. Davis, Steve Davis. Yeah. And he had tragically drowned while he was on holiday in saving his brother-in-law, and I lost a great friend there. I think he'd finished his playing, but that was a tragic event for the city. He went out into the sea and tried to save his brother-in-law, and it was a ridiculous move. The waves, etc., were so bad that he drowned. And he was very early in his career, and I'm sure he would have gone on to a served on committee and things like that. So that was my co-centre in those days. He must be on the list somewhere.
He is indeed.
Yes.
Let me let you browse through that.
Yeah, S.H. Davis. Which one's this? 45,
well,
46.
We're looking there.
No, he didn't come till here.
Yeah. The following year, yeah.
This was the very start of the season, yes. Mm. And there's Charlie and Jigger.
Charlie Dunn?
Yes.
Yeah. What sort of player was Charlie?
It's a bit difficult to describe, but he was a wholehearted player, certainly. But he would go into any position.
He even played on the wing, didn't he?
Yeah. I, in one game against the Old Blues, I had the honour of being captain. I was vice captain under Gordon Hudson on my last season, which is when I finished and had to give up the vice captaincy. But I was captain that particular day against Old Blues, and our scrum half got injured, and I looked around and put Charlie at scrum half, to the delight of the shed. He remembers this too. I think it was only for a short period because the scrum half came back on or whatever. But so I have put Charlie at scrum half, and that's a big thing in my mind. Yeah. But he would play anywhere, and he was a very active forward. Yeah. Yes.
Not many people could prop and play on the wing.
That was
staggering, as well as being a back row specialist.
He played on the wing. I was in the game against Oxford University.
Yeah.
And the Oxford people in the stand got to know, "Come on, Charlie," and shouting at him. Yeah, he was a wonderful character, really. Yeah, Charlie.
Do you remember any stories about him?
Well, that was one, and the other one is a bit unfair, really, because I remember him turning up for a game from the cattle market or wherever he did his job, and he ran up onto the station. The train was virtually going out. We were playing at Richmond, and he arrives with his kit in a brown paper bag tearing up the side of the platform. Oh dear. And that was Charlie. Yeah, but he loved his rugby. Well, that's Sid Smart's son. He didn't play very long, but he was a big forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he was good, Thornton. Johnny Thornton, yes. Yeah. Very lean, and he was a wing forward, and he was very protective of little Danny Evans round the scrum, etc. Rather long in the body. And he would lie out on the back end of the scrum and prevent the opposing scrum. After our scrum had gone by, he would prevent up to all sorts of things. But a very good player, yes. Johnny Thornton, yes.